Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Oasis service at Church of the Lakes. We would love for you to join us in person on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.oasisfaithcommunity.org.
So last week, we began a series of messages on who I believe to be the most important person in the Old Testament portions of our scriptures. He's a man named Moses. Moses, in my mind, is the spiritual giant, again, of the Old Testament. Under his leadership, which took place in the book of Exodus, the people of God were taken out of slavery, delivered out of slavery in Egypt and brought into the promised land, a land God promised to his people many, many years before, 400 years before, to the person of Abraham. That event, the legacy of Moses' leadership, takes central stage, is the central act in the nearly 1,500 years of Old Testament history. Through a supernatural escape, through 40 years of wandering through the wilderness, friends, it was Moses that would teach a group of people how to be in relationship with and for God. It was Moses that God would use to help provide focus and direction to the Israelites' lives. It was Moses that God would use that would help the people, his people, understand their true identity as his sons and daughters. So when we gathered last week, we kicked off the series talking about the universal purpose of our existence. Friends, hear me. If you are alive, guess what? You have purpose. There is meaning to your existence. And in my mind, that universal purpose, the purpose we all share in common, is fourfold, and it's on the board in front of you. In a nutshell, we were created, first and foremost, to know God, to be in relationship with Jesus Christ. We were created to grow in godly character by day in and day out emulating all the more the fruit of the Spirit. We were created to tell other people about Jesus. And finally, we were created to use our specific makeups, our passions, our skills, our talents, to bring not self-glory, but to bring God glory. Now, it's this last part of our fourfold purpose that I kind of want to hone in and talk about this morning. And what I want to talk about is how God wired each of us differently. Right? I'm thinking, praise God for that. I don't want everyone to be wired like Jared. He wired all of us different. He gave all of us different skill sets and passions and drives. And again, he's calling us to use those things to bring glory to him, the God who creates, the God who sustains, the God who redeems. Now, with all that said, what can be very difficult for some of us to ascertain is how to use those skills, giftedness, and drives in the most effective and efficient ways in fulfilling God's purpose for us. You know, the last thing any of us want is to feel like we wasted our lives. Amen? None of us want to feel like we wasted our lives. So what happens is early on we start fretting with questions like this. What if I go to the wrong college? What if I enter into the wrong occupation? What if I marry the wrong person? What if I buy the wrong house? What if? And we believe that the answers to these what if questions are what defines our lives in the here and now, what makes us who we are. Again, we think all these personal milestones like graduating from school, getting a job, getting married, having kids, achieving a certain level of success in the workplace, we think that's what defines us. Friends, I see it differently. In my mind, what defines us, the defining moments in our lives that define us, aren't any of those things. The defining moments are instead those moments in life where character is tested and developed. It's in these moments that the world and even ourselves come to understand more fully who we are and what we're all about. The Apostle Paul, in his letter he wrote to the church in Ephesus, said it this way. He said, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity." The defining moments of our lives aren't personal milestones. The defining moments of our lives are the moments our character is tested and developed. Okay, here's the thing about those defining moments. None of us are perfect, are we? You know, sometimes our character is tested and we rise above the challenge and we prove ourselves wise. Other times, however, we fail the test. We fall short. I'm sure, like me, you can think of times in your life where you experienced a challenging situation and, man, you didn't handle it the way you wanted to handle it. Maybe you lost your temper and you said or did something that you now regret. Is that you? Or maybe you contributed to a broken relationship, or maybe you walked away from an opportunity where you should have extended grace, but instead you made it all about yourself. You know, the moments where my character is often tested, I've shared this before, is when I'm in the car driving. And friends, there are moments that I get from my house to the church, I'm like, yeah, I was kind today. I let that driver in. I even waved him. I didn't honk my horn. And then there's other moments I'm thinking, I hope they don't know I'm a pastor at that church down the road in Canton, Ohio. You know, we've all had these moments in life, right? We all can relate to them. Now, regardless of what you do, whether or not you rise to the occasion or fall short, friends, hear me, the power of God is such that he can take all of our moments, good or bad, and help shape us into who he is calling us to be. God can use every character-forming moment to give us the framework necessary to finding and the fulfilling the purpose we were created for, into shaping us who he's created us to be. This was Moses' experience as a young man. We started his story last week. When we gathered, we left him off as a child, being raised by his adoptive mother in the palace of Pharaoh himself, where he was probably getting the finest education Egypt could provide. And yet, even in the midst of that, Moses still held on to his heritage as a Hebrew. Listen to how his story unfolds in Exodus 2, starting in verse 11. One day after Moses had grown up, he went out to his people, the Israelites, the Hebrews, and saw their forced labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his king's folk. And he looked this way and that, and seeing no one, this is a character-forming moment, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. When he went out the next day, he saw two Hebrews fighting, and he said to the one who was in the wrong, "Why do you strike your fellow Hebrew?" He answered, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and said, "Surely the thing is known." When Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh, and he settled in the land of Midian and sat down by a well. The priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came to draw water and filled the troughs of water so they could water their father's flock. But some obnoxious shepherds came and drove them away. Moses, however, got up and came to their defense and watered their flock. Another defining moment. And when they returned to their father Reuel, he said, "How is it that you have come back so soon today?" They said, "Well, an Egyptian helped us against the shepherds. He even drew water for us and watered the flock." He said to his daughters, "Where is he? Why did you leave the man? Invite him to break bread." Moses agreed then to stay with the man, and this man gave Moses his daughter Zipporah in marriage. She bore a son, and he named him Gershom, for he said, "I have been an alien residing in a foreign land." This is the word of God for the people of God. Hear it, believe it, and live. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, I ask in this moment, my heart's prayer every week is that you bless the words of my lips, the meditation of all our hearts, that they be of profit to us and acceptable to you, for you indeed are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So in what I read this morning, I kind of called it out as I was reading it, but there are two defining moments in Moses' life. The first was the murder of the Egyptian taskmaster. The second is Moses' defense of the women at the well from the obnoxious and overly aggressive shepherds. Now, against the backdrop of these two defining moments, what do we know of Moses' character? I think primarily what we know of Moses' character in this story is that Moses had the promise of being a very strong leader. And we know that because of four things in what I read this morning. The first is this: Moses sought to be among his people, God's people. I open up the very first verse. It talks about how Moses left the palace and went to be amongst the Hebrew slaves to see what they were up to survey their scene and the state of their life. Moses sought to be among the people. He didn't want to be disconnected, living in ivory towers in the palaces of Egypt. No, he wanted to be with the people. This is the first identity marker of Moses' promise of being a strong leader. The second is that Moses had a passion to fight against injustice. Even though at times his actions were ill-suited or chosen, yes, he still had a passion to fight against injustice. We see this when he comes to the defense of the Hebrew being beaten and in turn kills the Egyptian taskmaster. The third identity marker of Moses' promise of strong leadership is that he sought to mediate conflict, to be a peacemaker. You know, he saw two of his kinsfolk arguing and he sought to step in and help resolve the issue. They kind of blew him off in that moment, but again, an indicator that Moses had strong leadership qualities. The fourth is that Moses had a heart of compassion for those in need, primarily the underprivileged. And we see this after he flees into the desert, into Midian. Some shepherds, bullies, are picking on women. And Moses quickly steps in and pushes them away and then helps these women who are in need. You know, I reflect on the purpose for Moses' existence, friends, and in my mind, it is obvious that he was called not only to be a great leader, but a great liberator. Moses had a very strong sense of right and wrong. In fact, this eternal compass, it propelled him into personal intervention for the behalf of other people. Yes, you're thinking that, you know, Moses' actions at time were anything but godly. His ambitions were overplayed. You know, he abused his power and authority given to him, got himself into trouble. However, again, I believe God can use every moment, whether good or bad, to help shape and fulfill a person's purpose. He's doing this for Moses in our story, and friends, he can do it for us. You know, Moses' story, it's amazing in that here's a man that went from a prince of Egypt to a fugitive of the law to a married nomadic shepherd among the Midianite people. You know, you could very easily divide Moses' life up into three 40-year blocks. And during the first 40-year block, Moses is a prince of Egypt. And he's in the palace being educated with the finest education possible, being taught in things like economics and language and culture and construction and leadership. Well, the next 40 years, which is triggered by his murder of the Egyptian taskmaster, Moses, I believe, is being taught even greater lessons of importance, character-forming lessons, lessons around humility and perseverance and self-discipline, faith, and how to hear the voice of God. All things God used, again, triggered by a moment that was negative, but all things God used to help shape this man's character in order for him to become what he was called to become, a great leader and liberator to God's people. Defining moments. Defining Moses. Did Moses know that the vastness of his life experience, the testing of his character, would be the necessary framework that he needed to put in place to fulfill his purpose as a leader and liberator? Friends, do any of us truly understand that the choices we make, whether good or bad, the choices that define who we are provide the framework necessary for us to fulfill our purposes. Life is measured in moments, isn't it not? life moments where we are confronted with a truth and asked to respond, to make a choice that will define our lives. Life is measured in moments. I think we all know that, don't we? It's nothing new. We all know that there are choices, that our choices matter. No matter how insignificant those choices may be, friends, they matter. Who are you? That matters. Who are you called to become? You know, like Moses, do you have a strong moral compass? You know, do you have anger that boils up inside you when you see injustices of all kind? If that's you, how do you respond to that? You know, is the focus of your anger constructive or is it unbridled? We see both in Moses' situation. Let me ask another question. Like you, do you have a heart full of compassion? I mean, does your soul weep when you see others endure pain? If so, how do you respond? You know, do you just wish the pain away and do nothing? Or do you step in and get your hands dirty doing good to alleviate a person's pain, mind, body, or spirit, or even to wash it away? Like Moses, were you created to be an influential leader? I mean, do you have vision for what could be? If so, how do you respond? You know, do you overplay ambition? Do you abuse power? Or, in humility and kindness, do you earn the right to lead? Friends, there are moments which mark your life, not personal milestones, character testing moments that mark your lives, moments, whether good or bad, when you realize that nothing will ever be the same from this moment on. That time is now divided into two parts, before this moment and after this moment. Now here's the beauty about the God that Moses knows. Because really Moses' story isn't about Moses, is it? It's about God and God's relationship with us and the characteristics of who God is. Here's the beauty about the God Moses knows that I think gives hope to us, to our weary and broken lives. God, friends, made a masterpiece out of Moses' mess. Amen? That's the beauty of God. He made a masterpiece out of Moses' mess. It's incredible. God took all of Moses' mistakes, all of Moses' passions, all of Moses' skills, and he channeled them into fulfilling the purpose for Moses' existence. And God was able to do that, friends, because Moses had three qualities. God made a masterpiece out of Moses' mess because, one, Moses had a teachable spirit. Moses owned his mistakes. He learned from his failures. That's why God could make a masterpiece out of a mess. Number two, Moses had a repentant heart. Moses asked God for forgiveness. And not only that, did he ask God for forgiveness, but he opened up his heart to allow the Spirit to come in and form him and shape him and make him into who God desired him to be. The third reason why God could make a masterpiece out of the mess that Moses made was because Moses, friends, stayed connected to and energized by his passion. Moses knew why he was created. He knew it. And he stayed motivated by that passion. You know, I believe what God did for Moses, do you know God can also do to us? Amen? God can make a masterpiece out of the messes we've made in our lives. But it takes the kind of qualities Moses had for that to happen. If you're looking at your life now going, man, I've made a mess out of my life. God, how do you fix this? Here's how. Have a teachable spirit. Own your mistakes. Learn from your failures. Two, have a repentant heart. Go to the throne of God and say, I'm sorry. Go to the person you wronged and say, I'm sorry. And third, be willing to stay energized and connected to your passions. Know why you were created. Friends, God isn't done working on us. Amen. In fact, for some of us, I think we just had an aha this morning. And we're realizing God is working on us. For all of us, I say this, give every moment to Jesus And if you do that, he will make you into who God has created you to be this day and for every day that follows. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, first and foremost, we want to thank you for being a God who doesn't give up on us, a God who works so diligently and sacrificially to bring health and wholeness to our minds, bodies, and spirits. This, of course, made most evident in that moment when you sent your son and he hung on a cross and died for us. God's life is full of so many defining moments that reveal to the world and even to ourselves who we really are. And God, oftentimes in those defining moments when our character is tested, we fail the test. And God, we come before you now and we just say, I'm sorry for those moments. Lord, there are other moments that we celebrate when our character is tested, we rise above it. And we celebrate those moments, God. And we rejoice that by your power of your spirit, you've given us the strength to rise above. And God, no matter what the moments are in life, whether good or bad, we're just so thankful that you can use them all. That you can use them all to help us to fulfill the purpose for the reason we're here, to know you, to grow in godly character, to tell people about Jesus and how Jesus saves, and again, to use the reason we were created to bring you the glory you deserve, Lord. So as we leave this place, help us to consider, Lord, those moments that test our character, and help us to consider how your spirit has come upon us to help us through those moments that define who we are. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.